going on, Defenders? It's the night before the next LAFC match, and you know what this pod is all about. Welcome to another edition of One More Sleep, getting you informed and ready for LAFC's upcoming matchup against the Philadelphia Union. Ah, the Philadelphia Union. They will forever be a part of our history. As you can recall, it was against them that we clinched our first ever MLS Cup title. One of the most thrilling matches I've ever bared witness to. I mean, we could argue that the World Cup final between Argentina and France last year was phenomenal. I'm going to say this match between LAFC and the Union was the fantastic match, the match of the year, but I'm also slightly biased. I also think it's safe to say that most of us, probably all of us for that matter, have lost a few minutes of our life expectancy with the stress that that game caused. And of course, the celebrations that took place the weeks that followed, I'm sure, also took a little bit away from our lives. I lived off that high for several days. That much I can tell you. Here we are with another match ahead of us. Stakes are not nearly as high as our past encounters. If you recall, earlier in the year, we were playing them in the CONCACAF Champions League. And also, obviously, prior to that, it was the MLS Cup Final. But still, this is a match with significance. LAFC wants to finish as high on the table in the Western Conference as possible, if not clinching the Western Conference, only ensuring us another ability to go to that CONCACAF Champions League next season. Now, despite the fact that the Union have already clinched a playoff spot, they too want to finish up as high on the table as possible in order to ensure some playoff games in the friendly confines of Subaru Park, which is a place that is a very difficult place to win. Now, as far as the season goes for the Philadelphia Union, we've only played them as far as CONCACAF Champions League are concerned. As a result of their dramatic tie against Charlotte FC just this past Wednesday, the Union currently sit in fourth place with 48 points. As I mentioned, they had already clinched a playoff spot with a record of 14-8-6. Home record, 9-1-3. Where things start to get interesting, their goals for. This is a team that is in the top four in Major League Soccer for most goals scored. If you can recall, the game against St. Louis, which was not that long ago, the dramatic tie that was, St. Louis was number two in the league as far as most goals scored, and we managed to shut them down and shut them down good. We did. As far as their regular season is concerned for the Union, they've had themselves a couple of good wins and a couple of bad losses. Some of their good wins, you'd have to go back to May, in which they whooped up on the Revolution 3-0. They beat the Montreal Impact 3-0 in June, and then they had a very convincing win against a very tough team to score upon in that of Nashville, another 2-0. But they've also lost some pretty bad ones as well. They lost on March the 4th to Inter Miami 2-0. Now, you're probably thinking, Miami's been walloping on everybody. Not back in March. Back in March, Miami was a dog-ish franchise. Now they're obviously sitting in a position where they might climb into the playoffs, and who knows, maybe surprise all of us with a deep cut to the MLS Cup final. But that's speculative at this point. The Galaxy beat them shortly after the Galaxy beat us at the Rose Bowl. And a really bad Toronto FC also beat the Philadelphia Union just this past August. So they've had some pretty good wins, some pretty meh losses, and that's sort of the story with them. Now, their head coach, Jim Curtin, arguably one of the best coaches in Major League Soccer. As a result of the Union clinching the playoff spot, he became only the seventh coach in league history to lead a single club to six straight postseason appearances. Jim Curtin started coaching the Philadelphia Union in 2014 when they were a nobody franchise. And there was an interesting article in MLS Soccer, soccer.com, as Scarf would like to say. Oh, and by the way, real quick, you're wondering where Scarf is? Scarf will not be a part of this One More Sleep or this podcast, as he went over to New York recently with Nina to do a celebration of his father's life. For those of you who don't know, we sadly lost JR's father just this past summer. And with JR's father being from the New York area, he decided to head over there with his mother and Nina and meet up with that part of the family and obviously celebrate his father John's life. And so that's where he is. Rest in peace, Mr. Scarf. Going back to Jim Curtin, 2014, there was a really good article, 2014 meaning he's been part of the Union, really good article on MLSsoccer.com indicating that now the mentality of the Union locker room is significantly different than what it was when he first started at the helm of the Union. Back when he had first started, they'd be celebrating with champagne and all kinds of things, just merely clinching a playoff spot. This is a team, though, that is really hungry, hungry to avenge that MLS Cup final loss to us. Not only hungry to beat on us, but hungry to obviously make a deep run in the postseason. In the locker room, as a result of that draw with Charlotte, from what I heard, there was no partying. All the guys were on their phone, just quiet as can be, because they obviously have some pretty high expectations. And I don't blame them. This is a team that's gotten so close to some trophies on a number of occasions. As you know, they haven't won the big one. They won Supporters Shield in 2020, but they lost to us in the final. They've been the runners up for a couple of for U.S. Open Cup. They've never won anything. And speaking, never won a trophy for other than Supporters Shield. And speaking of which, they've also never beaten us either. In every match that we've had against the Philadelphia Union, we've been successful. In fact, LAFC is the only MLS team that the Union have played but never defeated, which is kind of crazy. Most of our matches, they end in a draw or they end in some kind of dramatic fashion. Now, they're obviously starting to play pretty well. They had themselves a really great game against Charlotte. They found themselves down 2-0, and then they obviously pushed through and got themselves a really hard-fought draw in a really tough contested match on the road in Bank of America Stadium against CLT. They have one of the most exciting players in Major League Soccer, and I'm going to get to him when we talk about our players to watch. But for the most part, that is the story of the Philadelphia Union. Very good team, very well coached, and they have a lot of dynamic players. Now, bearing that in mind, since I have nobody to banter with, and no, I'm not going to bring Hello Kitty on the show just yet. I'm going to save her for the podcast. It's going to be her and I, and we're going to see how we can parlay that banter. But for now, it's just going to be me. Players to watch. Let me pull this up real quick because I don't have producer Pandas with me. Let's give it a shot. There we go. Very brilliant. All right. I mentioned his name earlier, folks. Daniel Gosdog. The guy is a phenomenal player. Phenomenal. He leads this team in assists with 10 and goals with 13. We talked about Hani Mukhtar being in the race for the golden boot. He is now tied with Giacomakis from Atlanta United at 14. On Wednesday, Hani Mukhtar took the lead at 15, but Daniel Gosdog very much is a part of this race as he has 13 goals. And the last thing we'd want to see happen is for him to find the back of the net on multiple occasions, not only helping his team beat us, but obviously putting him above Denny Bouanga. We can't have that. And obviously I mentioned Denny Bouanga. Look, the guy's our leading scorer. He's a fantastic player. Going into the game Wednesday that we played against St. Louis, and he scored, he's got 14 goals throughout the course of Major League Soccer season. 27 goals across all competitions. Denny Bouanga, ever since he scored that goal against Portland the previous season to help us clinch the Supporter Shield, has been tearing things up. Phenomenal talent. And obviously, he's going to be the player to watch there. Look, these two players are the most low-hanging fruit between the entire rosters. I mean, you got the likes of Julian Carranza, Mikel Ua, McGlynn, Kai Wagner, obviously Andre Blake, the keeper on the Union. So many good players on this team, but the entire offense starts as a result of Daniel Gosdog. Let's move on. Scarf has no keys to the game. Scarf is not here. Scarf is having a slice of pizza somewhere in White Plains as we speak. My keys to the game, simple. No ball watching. Sounds pretty easy, right? Well, it hasn't been very easy for us. Look, what this team does, and by this team, I mean the Philadelphia Union, they create a lot of opportunities via long balls. In fact, they also lead the league in goals outside of the 18 with 10. This is a team that's going to look to hurt you from the outside. And the last thing we want to get caught doing is watching things go through. I could think of specific games, specific moments against the Galaxy where we scored, we got caught ball watching, they instantly equalized. I could think of the time when we played against Inter Miami and we got caught ball watching in that sense on a couple of occasions. So we can't get caught ball watching against a team that creates a lot of opportunities from outside of the 18. In addition, one of the weaknesses of the Philadelphia Union is the fact that they often find themselves caught in offside positions. Our defenders need to be aware of that, but at the same time, they need to not stop playing in the event that a defender does get ahead of them and find the back of the net. We found ourselves in situations where we've been part of some questionable officiating. We've had a couple of refs who we won't mention their names, Uncle and Penso, who have made interesting, controversial calls against us. Don't want to get caught ball watching, for obvious reasons. Now, we can't really let them get into the game either, as they are great at making runs. This is a team that even if they fall from behind, they're going to claw their way back into the game. Like I said, most recently, Charlotte, they were down 2-0. They came back and equalized the game. Y'all remember the MLS Cup final. It was back and forth. Just when you thought we were going to run away with this, no, they would come back and equalize. So we have to make sure that we take care of business there. And another element that I didn't include on my slide, you got to control Gazdag. LAFC in particular in the midfield has had a really tough time marking some of the most skilled players in this league. You think of the likes of a Ricky Pooch. Ricky Pooch is, other than the last game, torched our midfield. You think of like Lionel Messi, torched us. They're great players in Major League Soccer that we've had a tough time defending. And obviously, Daniel Gazdag will be that player for the Philadelphia Union, and we got to make sure that we don't let him get the best of us. Like I said, he leads the team in assists, and he leads the team in goals. Very dangerous player. Score prediction. Scarf doesn't have a score prediction. My score prediction. I'm going to precursor this with the fact that in most occasions, with the exception of the last time we faced off against the Union at the bank, we whooped up on them 3-0. But for the most part, we always end up in a draw with this team. These are always some hard-fought battles. I mean, if you look at our last 5 games, most of them have been that. Okay, so with the exception of the game May 2nd and the final on April 26th and the MLS Cup final. Look, 1-1 was what we had them in the first leg of the CCL on April 26th. Excuse me. November 5th. We ended up in a draw, and obviously we had to go to PKs and beat them that way. May 7th of 2022, it was 2-2. March 8th of 2022, it was 3-3. I don't see this being any different. We've been a lot better defensively this season than we have in these past seasons. We don't allow as many goals, and while teams like Nashville always get the credit for being defensive, stingy defenders, we're pretty darn good at that, too. And the fact that we were able to shut down one of the highest scoring teams in the league this past Wednesday in St. Louis leads me to believe that we can do it again against the Union in Subaru Park. Anything other than obviously a loss is going to be a big win. Obviously, 3 points on the road would be massive because we only have three away wins all season long. But if we can secure a point, this bodes very well for us. Subaru Park, like I said, is a very tough place to play, and the Union rarely, if ever, lose in the friendly confines of their little park in Chester, Pennsylvania. That being the case, an interesting storyline in the sense that John McCarthy gets to go back to Philadelphia yet again. Who's going to get the start against the Union? Is it going to be Maxime Crépeau? Or is Steve going to elect to give him a break, considering he's played back-to-back games within short period at the time? John McCarthy has had an outstanding season for LAFC, and I would say he should be rewarded as the prodigal son is about to return to the city of brotherly love. He's from the neighborhood. He went to high school in Philly. He did his college soccer at LaSalle, which is in Philly. He played as a backup for under Andre Blake for the Philadelphia Union before heading down to Miami and then obviously gracing our roster. And we would not have had much to think of in the likes of John McCarthy had Maxime Crépeau not sacrificed his body for us in that play up with Corey Burke, where he prevented what could have been an easy one-on-one, kept us in the game. John McCarthy comes through. Look, the rest is history. I'm actually wearing a John McCarthy jersey that he was so kind enough to sign at one of these Flex Power Tools events. Defenders of the Bank, sponsored by Flex. Check out your Flex Tools at Lowe's. And so that's the story, wondering what the case is going to be there. Now, we didn't have Chiqui Palacios last game. He wasn't injured. It was yellow card accumulation. I venture to guess that he will be back on the lineup and at the same time starting for LAFC. Although I will say Sergi Palencia has played fine. Scarf and I had a conversation about who we thought should start up top. He thinks it should be Kike Oliveira. I like Kike coming off the bench. I'm going to go with Mario Gonzalez just for a little while longer. Obviously, we sat Carlos for the majority of the game against St. Louis. He's going to, guys, adventure to guess, he's going to get the start along with Denny. Midfield, I say you stick with Mati. Mati should go back up there and start. You keep Kellen Acosta and you keep Ilya Sanchez. That's my thoughts there. Back line, I love Hollingshead and Palacios on the outside. Center backs, Giorgio Chiellini, unless he wants to get a break, and Aaron Long. If Giorgio's not going to play, fine, bring in Jesus David Murillo. But I'd love to see the Philadelphia Union's former backup keeper and our starting keeper, for the most part, the majority of the season, John McCarthy, get the start in between the pipes as he's home. He's going to get some boos. He's going to get some jeers. But it's a homecoming one way or another. And I'm excited for him. I'm excited for that matchup. And fingers crossed that this is the turnaround in our season that we needed. We haven't been great on the road. We haven't been that great, period. I mean, we've had played a lot of games this season, but keep in mind, the Union have played a fair amount of games as well. I believe they played 42 games this season, which isn't that that many less than what we've had. I think we might have played two or three more than the Union. So they're also a team operating on fumes, but they've got some talent there. Gazdag, Carranza, Uwa, McGlynn, Kai Wagner. I mean, Mbaizo, the list goes on and on. It's going to be a tough matchup, and I don't expect anything otherwise. I think it's going to end in a draw, 1-1 defenders. Feel free to go out there and DM, well, it'll be me for that matter, your thoughts on the game. Would love to have some feedback, so on and so forth. The game will be held on Saturday at 4:30, I believe. And then there's going to be a podcast shortly thereafter. It's not going to be a scarf, but I'm going to have plenty of guests on the show. I might have Hello Kitty join me.
Hello, Philly. Looking forward to our potential pod together.
I might have Coach Beard joining me as he's hula hooping his way through our podcast. And if Coach Beard doesn't have the quick one-liners that we want, I believe, as does Coach Ted Lasso. And depending upon whether or not she gets called in to work, because she is going to be on call Saturday, we might be joined by Panda as well. I got to thank Panda for the last time she was on this podcast. That was a very well downloaded episode. And Defenders, thank you so much for doing that. And also thank you for being part of us from the beginning up till now, whatever the case may be. We certainly love and appreciate all of the millions
and millions
of Defenders of the Bank listeners. Look, I hope we previewed this enough. I hope I gave you all the information that you need to know. Love to inform, love to educate, I love to entertain. So hopefully you found something in each of those three things that I like to do. And hopefully we get a point on the road. I'd prefer three, but I would be settled. I'd settle in on a point as well against the Philadelphia Union. And then take a couple of days break. And then we reconvene at BMO Stadium for an opportunity to add another trophy in that of Campeones Cup against Gignac & Co. as Tigres rolls in to California. It might be the last time this week that I'm drinking Topo Chico. And if you're wondering why, Topo Chico is from Monterrey, which happens to be also where Tigres is from. So I'm not going to jinx us by drinking anything from Monterrey. It's going to be Polar or Canada Dry or something of that nature. Anyways, I digress. I got nothing more to say, Defenders. I got nothing but love for all of you. Looking forward to seeing some of you on Saturday at some of these tremendous watch parties we have in store for us. And certainly looking forward to seeing you all again on Wednesday at BMO. Much love. Mwah. Philly out.